Welcome to another episode on the Duan Marrero podcast. This is your host, Duan Marrero, episode 179. Grassroots season is here. I had Torrence Price, who is the director of the Dean and Barbara White Community Center on Broadway, right in Maryville, Indiana, on last episode for 178. But today we have Coach Philip Washington, who is the EYBL 15U coach. Grassroots is here. Spring is here. One of the better times, I would say, of basketball season. And Phil, you were coming off as the Peach Jam Invitational champions. Relive that from July and talk about your expectations this upcoming season going into Atlanta next week. Well, this weekend, I should say.
That group right there was a young group. You know, you're playing with four guys that were playing up the whole other sessions. Going into July, they knew exactly the talent level and the level of play that they had to come up with. They got woke up the first game by BABC, and they got beat by 20 the first game right out the gate when we got down there. The next two games they won, so they end up placing everybody in a tournament like a March Madness type style. Instead of playing pool plays and different stuff like that. So that was a good deal for us that everybody got seated. Our road to the championship, we played every EYBL team that basically didn't make the Peach Jam, Georgia Stars, the Arkansas team, I can't think of the full name. We played a team also that we got beat by on the circuit. Is it Morris?
From where? Where are they from?
From Minnesota.
I have to look that one up.
White and blue.
White and blue?
White and blue. White and blue. Anyway, we played them in the first session in Orlando, and we got beat by them. So it was good to get some good back with them. So it was a lot of teams that were familiar. One thing that they learned, that group with Jalen Harrison and Ketchings and Jesse, they learned how to come and prepare that whole week. That was a long week. So they had to win six games in order to win the championship in that playoff ordeal. And the team that was staying with us in the hotel, they were on the other side of the pool. They got beat in the semifinal. But he saw how they were dedicated to sticking to the schedule, sticking to the rules when it comes down to turning in their phones at night, and then picking them back up in the morning with the scouting report. It became a ritual for them. Another teams actually saw him. And the coach actually talked to me before the championship game. He was like, you guys are going to win alone just because of how they came and approached the weekend and they got serious. So I think that group is going to be great for Coach Avery on the 17s because they learned their way. They earned their way. And they'll be young again. You know, got a couple of them that are still young, but still it's like they're ready. They're ready.
Your first year. Your first year in the EYBL circuit, what did you take away from it when a lot of coaches who have the aspirations to coach on that level in grassroots, what did you take away from it and what's that advice you give them when they ask you how is the UIBL coaching on that circuit?
That is, I would say that's the introduction to college basketball. That's the next level. It's not high school ball. It's kind of like an introduction to college ball. You have everybody that's, you know, being recruited from everywhere. Everybody's being sold a dream. So everybody's going to have a bigger, better package for a top talent kid. So that's already a hustle, you know, from right off the jump. So and your program or who you're with matters, matters big time. The name matters, reputation matters, the perceptions matter. And then how you approach the game, you can't just approach it like a regular, this is not AAU. You know, a lot of people get it twisted. Like, oh, man, that's just another AAU ball. It's like, man, no.
It's not.
We're prepping like real college coaches. We're on, you know, the software where we're watching all the games, where we're
synergy.
Seeing our opponent. Well, yeah, we're on that, and we're breaking down game footage in a short amount of time, more stuff than, you know, most high school coaches are doing for, you know, the team. And we really have to break it down because, you know, these kids are coming in. You know, they average 20, 25 at the high school's studs. And you got five or six of them you got to worry about. Then you got to see how they're, you know, what they're running, what type of offense they're running, or if it's just a running gun type of ordeal and how to slow them down. I'm
right.
A pressing guy. You know, I'm a pressing guy, you know, and I will continue to install that pressing style wherever I go. But I got humbled quickly. You know, even with the long guys that I have, and if you do press, you have to have guys that's going to sell out all the way to, you know, and believe in the pressing methods. You dealing with superstars that I'm not trying to pick nobody up 84 feet, you know, play defense hard like you want me to, and then,
right,
you know, turn around and then I got to score on a 6'9" stud, you know, that blocks every shot, is just as big as fast as me. So that was a lot. That was a very humbling experience, but it really taught me on, you know, the half court defense, on how to shut people down, how to stop people, what type of tactics is going to work to disrupt what other teams are doing, or to stop and neutralize guys that are just amazing out there. And everybody out there is amazing. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it's no
are.
Drop off. It's no drop off. We, you know, it's no drop off. And I also learned that. So, you know, for an inspiring AAU coach or high school coach that wants to jump into that mix, yes, that is a great mix to jump into, but be prepared to work. This is not, you know, the gear. Don't get me wrong. Wearing Nike is great. The gear is great and all the above, but you signed up for professional development.
Yeah. I mean, wins and losses at the end of the day. Because you saw a lot of teams that were at the bottom of the totem pole who you don't see this year around, right? Mm-hmm. It, like you said, it is the introduction to college basketball at a much younger age, right? Because college basketball, some of these kids are good enough to get your coach fired, right?
Yeah.
These games are based off wins and losses. What's one team, or was there a couple of teams that stood out to you that you were like, damn, we let this one go, or that one game that you – can remember still to this day as if it was yesterday?
The team that won it in the 16U, Team Takeover, we had them. we played them in Indianapolis. And that's the thing about it. I had friends and family coming in that game and all that good stuff to watch them play, because a lot of people were happy about Jalen Harrison, you know, as a hometown
right.
for me.
Absolutely.
So, It was, you know, it was a good thing to have a lot of people in the crowd. We start off the game, it's two games, but we started off the game, we were getting our tail whooped. You know, we were getting beat by a cool 20. They had a nice little come to Jesus meeting at halftime with myself, and they came back, and we took the lead by 6 points. We took the lead by 6 points, but like, two or 2.5 minutes to go. And just, you have to execute too. You know, that's another thing.
Right.
You know, the shot clock, you know, so it's guaranteed possessions. So it's like, you have to execute. You gotta get to the free throw line, and you gotta be able to stop the opponent. And before you know it, two possessions, it was a tie game. Next thing you know, we come down, we don't convert. They come down, probably hit a big three or big and one. They went up by three. We never, you know, never rebounded back from that. That game was a big one. And then another game in Indianapolis that we lost was All Ohio. That was a big game for Jesse, playing against the guy that was ranked. He was like number two. Jesse was number two. The dude was number one. Big game, you know, all the college coaches, of course, there to watch that matchup, along with the young guys that we have with Jalen and Trent and Catchings and whatnot. And we did not show up. We did not show up. Our team, our supporting cast, you know, it fell apart. It fell apart right there. But it was a turning point for that team. Our team changed after that night, you know, with our personnel, and we moved forward after that game as a, I would say, a they went through that experience together. You know, they went journey together. So it brought that core group tighter. And I believe it's that core group along with, you know, adding Jonas and the other guys that they have. Because Jonas also, he was one of the new pieces that got added on after that session. That is the core group for the 17s right now.
Yeah. So I think Jesse McCullough, you let me know if I'm wrong. I think he's a future pro. I think yeah. I think that he can do so much on the floor. I watched him in Ohio. I didn't get a chance to watch him in practice, but what I saw him do in Ohio, which was tip dunks, active around the rim. In Europe, guys like his size are able to stretch the floor.
Yeah.
That was why I labeled him that pro tag, but I think he's so underrated, and I hope with these new rankings he cracks the top 100. You know, I think he deserves to be top 50.
Oh yeah. I believe he speaking of Jesse, he went on a tear during that last run. Mm-hmm. He really showed out. And he also picked up a lot of offers after that last run and what he did. I can recall against Georgia All-Stars, Georgia Stars, he, you know, he specifically said in front of all of us, along with, you know, he told me, he was like, "Coach, I'm not here to lose. You know, I'm a winner. We're going to win this game, and then we're going to win the championship, and then I'm going to go home and win the state championship because we're going to, you know, that's how I ride."
Right.
And it's crazy that all that, you know, he went crazy that game, had about 30, and he terrorized a big guy that was highly recruited from Georgia Stars, terrorized him, inside out, three ball, passes, run the floor, dunks, you know, defensive stops, blocks, rebounds. He did everything. He showed the whole package. And we won the championship, you know, run away, won the championship along with the season he just had in high school. He won the state championship.
Right.
And I know they have a great supporting cast around there, but he is a winner. He knows how to win. He's going to do those little things. He's going to talk to his teammates. He's going to be a great teammate.
What are you excited for most about this upcoming season? You got Atlanta, man. First stop, and then next weekend you have in Phoenix. Right, show
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
So, what are you anticipating most, and what's your goals for this season?
This team is exciting. I believe last year we had long guys, stretch guys, wing guys. This year, with this 15 year, we have guards, we have point guards, we have along with complemented with wings, long guys. That can get it done. And then also a surprising guy that surprised me a lot is Tristan Coleman from Michigan. He's shocked me, surprised me a lot. And he's bringing a lot to the team, chemistry. He talks, he hustles, he does little things, and he asks questions. And if somebody has questions, he's raising his hand like, "Can I say it? And then you say it," like type deal. He wants to volunteer it. So I love that. And if you're getting that from guys that you didn't expect to be somewhat of a, you know, a big star player, but he's going to be like a glue guy. Having, you know, you got the Marcus Johnson along with Zion Hall, along with Juju Smith, those three can run the show for anybody. Those three are dynamic guards. Of course, Marcus has a lot of, you know, a lot of hype behind him. USA guy. He was all everything in Ohio as a freshman. He's guarded any which way, you know, watching his games, and he still impacts the game. He's so good, so smart with the ball. He's an extension of the coach of the floor. So, as much as passion that I have and as much yelling that I do, I think I can fall back a lot now because Oh man, I have a true general. I have, like I said, I have multiple true generals. Like Julian Smith has, you know, the last couple workouts that we've had from Mount Vernon, he is very, very solid. He played as a true freshman in any high school basketball, started the whole year for Mount Vernon, which is going to be a good program in the rising. They he's very strong, and he's every bit of what you're going to see, on the circuit. You want to see strong, gritty little guys like that that can, dribble pass, shoot. He can shoot the ball. He's very methodical with his moves, and he sees the floor. He's a great teammate. Justin Curry from Noblesville, him and Desan Hall, those two are like wingish, guys that can, fill it up from everywhere. Desan Hall gets to the rack. He's a muscle. He gets to the rack. He has a strong game. Lefty. I got five to four lefties on this team, which is crazy. I'm thinking about
that's dangerous to guard.
Yeah, I'm thinking about just throwing in all five of them at the same time, just because I want to see it. But Desan Hall from Tinley, he's going to. I told him, I was like, man, I can see you be one of the high point averages, not because you're shooting the ball well or anything like that. It's because he can get to the free throw line. Oh, my gosh, he gets to the free throw line. So if we can get him attacking and getting to the free throw line, shooting about 8 to 10 free throws per game, we're going to be in great shape.
I plan on Friday, I plan on covering you guys' game. And ironically, you mentioned Team Takeover, and you guys played Team Takeover Friday.
Right out the gate.
Have you already tried to dug in to see who they have and the game plan going into Friday? Because it's kind of like a Hell in a Cell match this Friday.
Right now it is. You kind of like going into a blind. You try to research as much as you can, see the little side tournaments that everybody's trying to play. They're trying to get tuned up before we play. We don't have that luxury of playing the tournament because we've mini camped a couple weekends. We scrimmaged or whatnot, but we haven't been in that smoke yet. So,
right. So
I'm anticipating, good guards, East Coast type of play, because the East Coast team. So they will be physical. I'm not really stickler on any names yet, because they haven't released the roster from what I was told.
Right.
May have recently, but I haven't seen the roster. I also am anticipating those kids to be a little bit older. It is what it is, but I know that that's the reclass side,
right?
Of the EYBL. So it's not going to be like playing little babies. You're going to be playing,
grown men. Yeah, and they like to press studs. 94 feet, right?
Yeah,
they like to press and
and like I said before, that pressing stuff, it humbles you because you find out, these runs, teams make runs with that press. Once they find out how to, get out of that pressure, that's how we came back last year on them and took the lead back.
Right.
And because we cracked the code and we started hitting shots and we got in our groove. With this group right here, I have multiple guys that, that wants that. Like, I dare you. The press is 94 feet. So I look forward to it. The way we played against the 16U, and nothing taken away from them, but I was just proud of how they, they battled against them this past weekend. So I'm very much looking forward to how we come out.
And then you have pro skills, and then you finish out with the skills factory. I mean, you got a gauntlet in Atlanta.
And every session is going to be a gauntlet.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Zero dark 30, I'm pretty sure, all week. And I hope the guys that you're coaching understand what's at stake, starting things off in Atlanta. Because it's an eye opener. I mean, you went through that first year in Orlando where a few of your players didn't have the best performance that weekend, but that second weekend, you knew who was in the gym leading into Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the beauty of why I love EYBL and how competitive it is and the experience you got to share with amongst your peers. So good luck, Phil, this weekend, and I'll be there covering that 15U game because I fly in Friday morning.
Right. I wish we could fly in with you instead of taking that nice
ride. It's nothing like a good 8 to 10 hour drive with your comrades. And you get to know a lot about your guys on that road. Unfortunately, like I said, I'm going on a company's dime. So at work. So I'll just catch you guys on the flip side.
There you go.
All right, coach. Until next time, I'm looking forward to recapping with you probably after Phoenix to see where you're at mentally and, you know, what the team is looking like, get back to these playoffs.
Yes, sir.